Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
I would recommend that if the board is inclined to vote for A, B, and C, that's in the recommendation here, that you also make a motion to reject the request for the waiver from the Children's Trust, or the board, of course, can use its discretion to vote in favor of the waiver, in which case you would not be going along with A, B, and C.
Madam Counsel, do we have to take action on their request? I don't see why we have to. I don't see why we would have to act on that. And forgive me for not asking you that.
You don't have to take action on their request.
Yeah.
We can proceed with A, B, and C. I see that they. I mean, it looks like they have representation.
Well,
here.
That's and they both signed. They signed up to speak. I mean, I would say allow them to speak, and we take action. We don't have to respond to someone else's request.
I mean, let them talk. I'm not going to. I don't care what they say. It's not all that interesting to me. I know what I'm going to do. But you know, fine. If I have to let the people speak, you know. The peasants approach the bench and say your say. Stephen Barry running the county commission meeting yesterday, and I mean, I don't know why he was so irritated at this part of the meeting. And because, I mean, I think later on, after the people spoke, I can understand why he was irritated because they told him he was wrong, and he does not like that. But I didn't understand why he was agitated from the beginning. What the Escambia Children's Trust was asking was, hey, number one, we've requested to have an exemption from having to give you back this money. Since the money that was supposed to be used for children's issues, which is why the voters approved it, you're now saying, and the law actually says, to their credit, that at least preliminary analysis says has to go back to the CRA, which means it has to go to the county to be used in these specific areas where there's community redevelopment areas. That's not what we voted for. You know, we didn't vote for that half a mil to go to whatever project to, you know, put on commercial facades or help people get better roofs or, you know, put up signs. We did it for to help kids, and it's supposed to go to help kids. And now the county is basically considering the question of whether the $1 million has got to come back from helping kids to go to other projects that the county wants to do stuff with it in the CRA, which again, I think the preliminary analysis is, you know, compelling that it is owed, but the county's being asked to waive that. The county's being asked to make an exemption and to let the Children's Trust keep the $1 million and do with it what we wanted them to do with it, which is to help kids. And he's just like, we don't even have to vote on it. We don't have to do anything. We don't even have to pretend that this request exists. I just think that we take A, B, C and be done with it and get the money.
I think by taking A, B, and C, we're affirming that the board expects to be paid.
Okay. So, Lindsay Cannon, the executive director of the Escambia Children's Trust, which, let's be honest, has had lots of problems. She's a new leader at the trust, and I think she's got the promise of doing a lot of good things for it, but it definitely has had problems. She gets up there and is very nice, and she basically says, can you just give us some time? You know, can you just give us a few weeks to, you know, get our ducks in a row? This has all come up suddenly, and we'd like a chance to really investigate and talk with the county and figure this out. So she's very kindly asking for time. Then Meredith Bush, the attorney for the Escambia Children's Trust, says, yeah, we're asking for time, but actually, you have to give us, you know, some consideration here.
So statutorily, the board does have to take action on our request, although not today, but the statute requires that when an exemption request is filed, that a public hearing is held on that request to address the matters outlined in the exemption request.
So you need to give us some consideration, and you probably need to do what your county attorney recommended you do, which is actually take a vote to deny our request, but you actually need to have a public hearing about this too.
Because we just received the notice on Friday and provided our exemption request yesterday, we would simply ask that you delay action on item A, B, and C until such time as you've held the public hearing required on the exemption request.
So not only do you have to have a hearing, you have to respond, and?
The statute requires that the programs within the CRA, that there be specific projects that benefit the purpose of the special district that you're taking the TEF funds from. And we've been through all of your redevelopment plans. Only the cantonment plan contains any projects or programs related to children That may be one that we could agree to pay now. However, on the others, there's case law that's clear that a special district is not required to pay TIF funds when the redevelopment district does not benefit the purpose of that special district.
So what she's saying is, look, you shouldn't be taking money away from the Children's Trust, $1 million, to go to fund projects in the community redevelopment areas that don't have anything to do with children, and only Cantonment has anything to do with children. None of the rest of them really do. And so you're actually running afoul of the law, in addition to not having a hearing, in addition to not responding to our request. So why don't you just wait? There's nothing urgent about this. It's been a problem for 3 years that nobody knew about. Why don't you just wait a minute? Take a beat. Don't take action.
The purpose of the special district of the Children's Trust is the provision of services for children. Currently, your plans do not contain the provision of services for children. So we would just ask that you take this into consideration, that we could avoid any further action by the trust on this, and hold a hearing on the exemption request as required by statute.
But let me tell you what, Commissioner Barry does not like people to get up in public and tell him that he's wrong. And he did not like this last night because Allison Rogers, the county attorney, well, yesterday morning, I guess, Allison Rogers says,
I am 100% comfortable that you can proceed with A, B, and C.
Okay.
And if it does appear, if that's what you wish to do, and if it does appear after digesting their information that we are obligated to schedule a public hearing to consider this, then we'll certainly get that scheduled and bring it back to you all.
Okay.
So she says she still believes her legal analysis is right. You can take the money and run. And if they have to come back and have a hearing, they have to come back. So Lumen May was not fully on board with this, and he talked about it. We'll get to that in just a second. Before that, Jake has got our traffic on the fives. Jake?
Okay. Looks like I-10 eastbound, once you pass Scenic Highway and get out over the bay, we're still seeing a little bit of slowdown from a vehicle crash there earlier with roadblock. Eastbound I-10 just past the Highway 29 interchange. We had reports of some huge boxes in the roadway, but those hopefully have been moved out of the way. But that was I-10 eastbound just past Highway 29. Having reports here of a bad accident on Burgess Road heading toward downtown, they said, which I don't know. I'm trying to figure it out. From looking at the map here, it looks like that might be near West Florida High School. But I'm not seeing any major slowdowns there. And then we do have an accident at West Fairfield and Hollywood that's starting to cause some slowdown getting through that area. If you see anything else out there on our roadways, you can always call or text our traffic tip line. That's 437-1620. I'm Jake Walker with your traffic on the fives.
Hey, if you're thinking about that next vehicle, trying to decide where to go, I recommend Frontier Motors. You know, I've been talking about them for years since we bought a car from them, which we went to just test drive, but it turned out to be such a good deal. They worked with us on the price, and eventually we like had to buy it, even though we were just looking to test drive. But it was such a great, it was exactly what we wanted. And we hadn't been able to find one like it anywhere, and we just wanted to drive it to see. And then it turned out, okay, let's take that car. And they followed up with us. 6 months later, Calvin calls me, our sales guy. Anything wrong with the car? No. Why are you calling me? A year after. Anything wrong with the car, sir? There's just one of the keys doesn't work. We'll bring it in. We'll replace it. I'm like, I bet you will for $150. No, on us. You bought a car expecting keys at work, you get keys at work. And it was not the fob, it was the physical key, which you never use almost. So I brought it in. 5 minutes later, I had a key and I was done. That was it. A year after we bought a used car from them. That's the kind of people they are. So when I say Frontier Motors has been serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years behind the big buffalo on Beverly Parkway, I mean that. Back to the conversation about the Escambia Children's Trust money going to the CRA yesterday at the Escambia County Commission meeting. Lumen May, District 3, who sits on the board for the Escambia Children's Trust, but was not present in the emergency meeting earlier this week where they talked about all of this.
Steve, if we have a CRA plan, you know, particularly in Brownsville and Englewood, that's in, it's not addressing, and it's hard for me to conceive that the only CRA that has a youth component is Cantonment. I mean, that would be tough. I mean, I would love to get clarification on that. I mean, that's probably has nothing to do with A, B, and C, but
yeah.
I mean, that's fundamentally a problem. I mean, if we're saying that it's only one CRA that's addressing delinquency, when we know where the 325-01, 325-03, we know where the delinquency and the crime is, and if that's not written into the plan, that's not good for whoever's writing the plan. You know, that's very disappointing.
It has everything to do with whether the money should go to the CRA, because if the money going to the CRA is not going to go to help children, then it's outside of the scope of what we voted for in giving the Escambia Children's Trust the money. And now all that happened is you voted in a tax increase property tax increase to do whatever the county wants to do with the money. That's bad and might be outside of statute. I'm not an expert on this. That's what their lawyer says. And by the way, that's part of what they're saying is, hey, give us time to work this out. And the money can't go for things that are outside of the purpose. You know, and the CRA doesn't need the money. They've got a surplus. Scambia Children's Trust also runs a surplus. Neither one of them has spent all their money. But, you know, it sounded to me like Luman was going to put a hold on this, one of the three commissioners there, because Jeff Bergosh is out of town for an unrelated meeting that he had to be somewhere else for. And, we're down a commissioner right now because Robert Bender became the supervisor of elections. Mike Kohler, District 2.
I entertain a motion for A, B, and C.
Steven's just trying to get the thing passed.
Mr. Chairman, if I
yeah,
can
Mike,
comment.
Sure.
I'm sorry.
Yep.
I agree with that, and I just want to say something. Children's stuff in this, I look at playgrounds and community centers and all the things that Lexington Terrace is a great example of a blighted park that is in a poor community. Right, and same with Brownsville. You know, and I've got three of those. And we in Parks and Recs is doing the best to do some of that, but it would be nice to have some of this money that would help with the environmental focus of these areas.
We didn't pass the Escambia Children's Trust to fund parks. That's not what it's for. I don't understand this objection other than we'd like to have the money. And that surprised me coming from Mike Kohler. I thought he wouldn't go this way on it.
From what I understand, talking to Madam Attorney, this was an oversight we should have had previously and was neglected, right? We're in complete right to have this, get these funds from the Child's Trust Fund, right? That's what I thought. So you made the motion? Luman for A, B, and C, did they? Okay. I'll make a motion to approve A, B, and C.
Right. Is there a second?
So Luman had not made the motion and is clearly uncomfortable about this, and maybe it dies for lack of a second.
I'll second it, but I still have some questions.
Sure. And I don't think clearly nobody stood up in the audience, so I don't think this question is going to be answered today, but
no,
I don't know
right.
that they address A, B, and C either. But,
yeah. Right. No merit to the whale. I mean, this is the first I've heard that, and so, right. I mean, well... We'll figure it out.
All right, please vote. A, B, and C of the county attorney's report passes 3-0. Madam Attorney.
That's all I have.
Oh, take the money and run. This just doesn't make any sense to me. Like, there's three options here. Option number one is to do what they did, which is take the money and give it to the CRA to spend on economic development or refurbishment of the community redevelopment area. That's the least good alternative. The second to least alternative, in my opinion, would be to just grant the waiver on short notice and let the Children's Trust keep the money that we voted for them to have. The best option, the one that they were asking for, is just wait. Just wait. Wait until there's a fourth commissioner. Wait until we can do some more investigation. Wait until your attorneys have fully researched what we've sent them back as our complaints. Let's look at statutes and case law and see if we can't figure this out. Just wait. It's not urgent. The money's been uncollected for 3 years. 2 years and a year, depending on which slice of the funds you're talking about. I have no earthly idea why they didn't vote to just wait. That would have been the right choice, especially since Luman May had questions and doubts and uncertainties. They punt stuff all the time. There's no good explanation for why this had to be acted on last night. So there you go. Your county commission at work. 724 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
Here's today's Strength for Life.
Palm Sunday is a wonderful celebration of Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. It's wonderful because the New Testament passages record the fulfilled prophecies from the Old Testament. Palm Sunday helps prove that Jesus of Nazareth is God's anointed Messiah. As Jesus enters Jerusalem riding a colt, he is doing so in fulfillment of Zechariah 9:9. Recorded hundreds of years before Palm Sunday, Jesus riding that colt identifies him as the Messiah. In addition, as the crowd sees him, they laid down palm branches in his honor, and then they cried out, "Hosanna! Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord." And them saying that was a fulfillment of Psalm 118. So be sure to gather with your local church this Palm Sunday and celebrate all that God has done through the person of his only begotten Son.
For more Strength for Life, check out our website at strengthforlife.church.
The Port of Pensacola is more than just a name. It's a powerhouse of economic opportunities, a strategic location that sparks growth and prosperity, contributing significantly to the local and regional economy with 23 incredible businesses that call this port home. Big names like C-Max Materials, GE Wind Energy, and soon the prestigious American Magic Sailing Team. Since 1754, the Port of Pensacola has been the driving force behind Northwest Florida's economic success. Explore more at portofpensacola.com.
Exciting news, the data revolution is on the rise once again. Data Revolution is seeking a second-tier engineer with at least 2 to 3 years of experience in IT, networks, voice over IP, and cybersecurity. Data Revolution's competitive salary is based on experience, and their comprehensive benefit packages include a medical stipend, matching 401k, flexible work hours, starting with 3 weeks of PTO, 10 paid holidays, profit sharing, and more. This is not remote or work from home. To learn more about this opportunity, send your resume to resume@datarevs.com.
Uh-oh!
You've just discovered you have...
rats! Ew! What do I do? How do you get rid of them? I have a clue.
To get rid of the rats is no problem at all. The solution's inside Davis Hardware and U-Haul.
Hi, how can we help you?
I have a rat problem.
Oh, rats.
Literally, what do I do?
Davis Hardware and U-Haul employees are real hardware people and know what happens when infestations get out of hand. They have the experience to help you get rid of your, uninvited guests.
Thank you.
Davis Hardware and U-Haul on L Street just off Fairfield in the center of Pensacola.
Local experts share their expertise on the Pensacola Expert Panel. It's Pep Talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Ocean Man, take me by the hand, lead me to the land that you understand. Ocean Man, the voyage to the corner of the globe is a real trip.
Good morning, 727 News Radio 92.3. We've got Dave Greenwood on the line. We'll get to him in just a second. Before that, Jake has got a traffic update for us. Jake?
Okay, a couple areas in town we need to really look at here. This is going to be westbound on Fairfield headed toward Hollywood Avenue. We have an accident there blocking part of the westbound lane there, causing a little bit of slowdown on Fairfield this morning. Also on Barrancas, we have a really, really bad accident between H and I streets headed, it's actually got traffic blocked in both the east and westbound lanes. So Barrancas between H and I, if you can avoid that intersection and go around, that will really help out because I believe crews are just now getting on the scene and that's going to take a while to clear up. Otherwise, around town, we're looking great. Highway 98 through Gulf Breeze and Navarre is good. Highway 90 coming out of Milton through Pace is clear. And Highway 29 south through Cantonment is accident-free. If you see anything out there, let me know. Call or text 437-1620. I'm Jake Walker with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks so much, Jake. We got Dave Greenwood on the line. He is the Pensacola Beach Water Safety Chief for Escambia County. Dave, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Thank you, Andrew. Happy Friday to you.
Happy Friday. I have mismanaged my time, so I don't have a lot of time to give you, but I definitely want to find out what we're looking at this weekend. What do you think?
Well, right now we've got a yellow fly flying service picking up. We've got bad weather coming. Looks like it's going to be sunny going into Sunday, so the wind should shift and calm down the surf. And we've got spring break for Escambia, UWF, and all of Santa Rosa schools starting on Monday. So it's going to be really busy on the beach.
Very, very busy. Always pay attention when there's more crowds. There's more stress on your lifeguards. I know that. And, I just always listen to the guards. They have legal authority. Do what they say and ask for their advice, right?
Exactly, Andrew, exactly. We want to make sure everybody has a nice, happy, safe time at the beach. So, and that's our job, and we're always required to, do that professionally with a great positive demeanor.
They are never trying to ruin your day. They're trying to prevent you from having a catastrophically bad day. So do pay attention to them. Dave Greenwood.
Exactly. When you dig, one thing I can't understand is what compels people to dig deep holes in the sand. Myself and another lifeguard, we were driving. I was aware of my attention. A 5-foot deep hole was dug in the sand.
That they didn't fill in?
So we
terrible.
Exactly. So I grabbed the lifeguard and we drove down to that area and we filled most of it in. So that's please don't dig holes in the sand.
I dig holes, but we always stay with them and we always fill them 100% of the time because that's the only way to keep the beach safe for people. Dave, as always, Dave Greenwood, Pensacola Beach Water Safety Chief for Escambia County. Thank you for the time. Thanks for the public service message and we appreciate you, sir. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, Andrew. Have a great weekend.
Absolutely. All right, we got a 10-second story from you, David.
Absolutely. Nestle recalling 440,000 Starbucks mugs. The U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission says these mugs can overheat and break. That would be a very bad day if your mug of hot coffee broke in your lap.
Or your mug of hot chocolate, either
That's
way.
Right.
Yeah, that would be a very bad day. Very good. All right, David's got more of your local news coming up next right after Fox, and then... some thoughts about local employment conditions after that.
Fox News. I'm Gianna Gelosi. Former President Trump now has only 3 days to secure a more than $450 million bond. And New York Attorney General Letitia James already laying the groundwork to seize his assets if he doesn't.
The Attorney General's office has filed judgments in Westchester County, where Trump's National Golf Club and the Seven Springs Estate are located. Legal experts say, though, it is premature to assume the properties in Westchester will be the first the AG goes after.
Fox's Madeline Rivera. Trump took to Truth Social to say, quote, this is communism in America. Secretary of State Antony Blinken touching down in Tel Aviv to share alternatives to Israel's planned assault on Rafah.
There are more than a million people in Rafah, many of whom were displaced from other parts of Gaza. A major ground operation there would mean more civilian deaths. It would worsen the humanitarian crisis.
Blinken speaking from Egypt. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now we've got partly cloudy skies. Looks like about 60 degrees this morning in Tola. The Board of County Commissioners and the Children's Trust to be at odds over just $1 million. The county says the Children's Trust had money in back taxes, and they've been making increment revenue payments to county CRA funds. Children's Trust attorney Meredith Bush says they filed for an exemption for that tax.
The statute requires that the programs within the CRA, that there be specific projects that benefit purpose of the special district that you're taking the TEF fund from, and been through all of your redevelopment plans. Only the cantonment plan contains any projects or programs related to children. That may be one that we could agree to pay now. However, on the others, there's case law that's clear that a...
And new Children's Trust Director Lindsay Cannon also spoke, asked the commissioners to hold off on the resolution on the agenda yesterday.
As someone that was a nonprofit executive director in this community and working in a lot of our really impoverished areas, I know the importance and the impactfulness of this money. So we ask you just to delay any decision related to this action item until we can formally address the exemption request.
Ultimately, the board decided to move forward with the resolution, which will notify the Children's Trust they intend to collect the $1.1 million owed while waiving penalties and fees. Well, last week, a Pensacola police officer hurt their leg in a crash on Bayou Boulevard. That happened when a vehicle crossed the road, smashed into a patrol car that was in the turning lane near Buffalo Wild Wings there. The officer was taken to the hospital to have his leg checked out.
Looks like he's going to be okay. The leg was not broken, and minor injuries in the other vehicle. So that's being investigated as a possible DUI. We don't have the lab work back yet on that one, but when we do, there could be possible charges in the future on that.
PPD spokesman Mike Wood there, he says the driver of the other vehicle's toxicology report just hasn't come back yet. He says when suspects are evaluated at a hospital like that, things are done differently, and sometimes it can take a while before they get the results. Looks like the town of Century is going to owe the state about $500,000 for relocating utilities as part of the Highway 29 construction project resurfacing. The highway resurfacing has been going on since January of 2023. As part of the work, Century was required to pay for relocating water, sewer, and natural gas lines. Originally, that work was estimated at about $250,000. That was back in 2022. But now the work is nearly done. The total was $556,000 for that. The resurfacing project expected to be done later this year. The Century Town Council did approve a 15-year promissory note with FDOT for the full amounts earlier this week. It is 7:35 at News Radio, and let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with Jake.
Okay, this traffic report brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Not seeing any major slowdowns on our roadways right now to tell you about. Earlier, we had an accident on Fairfield westbound going toward Hollywood. That's got traffic slow in both directions. I'm not sure if it's completely blocked, but definitely seeing some slowdown there. And Barrancas between H and I streets, we have a vehicle crash there blocking both the east and westbound lanes. So if you can avoid that intersection, please do. The crews are on the scene clearing that up right now. If you see anything else out there on our roadways, let us know. Call or text our traffic tip line, 437-1620. Executive Landscaping, call them today for all your premium and commercial landscaping needs. I am Jake Walker with your traffic on the fives.
We will be dealing with showers and thunderstorms today. 70% chance of rain in the afternoon and evening. High today near 68 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 57. For Saturday, small showers possible in the morning. Then the skies clear out. High near 68. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 48. For Sunday, sunny skies with a high near 70 degrees and a low near 56. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Cloudy right now and 59 in Pensacola, also 59 in Gulf Breeze. Few degrees cooler, 56 in Milton. Your next news at 8. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Adrian Hallmark, the experienced autos leader of Bentley, has been appointed as new chief executive officer of fellow British luxury automaker Aston Martin. The 61-year-old will start his new role no later than October 1st. Outgoing leader Amedeo Felisa will remain in his post until that time. Aston Martin shares were up nearly 2%. After a year of supply shortages and climbing borrowing costs, 2024 is shaping up to be a better time to buy a car. The average transaction price for a new vehicle in the U.S. in February was just over $47,200, which is 2.2% down from February of 2023. New cars overall are still more expensive.
Finding a reputable business shouldn't require luck or chance. But how can you tell who you can trust? Pro tip, the BBB connects people with businesses they can trust. So think of the BBB as the better, check with the BBB first, because better businesses are honest and commit to high ethical standards bureau. That's why they're better. Always look for the sign of a better business and find a better business anytime at BBB.org.
Looking for a sewing machine? Daryl's Sewing is the largest sewing machine dealer in Pensacola, with new machines starting at $249 and used machines starting at just $150. There are lots of machines to choose from under $500, plus sewing furniture, craft supplies, and fabric. Financing is available. Daryl's Sewing, 6705 North Davis Highway, between Creighton and Burgess. Online at sewinginpensacola.com. The folks at Daryl's say, when you buy from us, you get from us. That's sewinginpensacola.com.
News Radio Pensacola. Your home for informative, local, and dependable news and talk. Start your mornings off with the award-winning Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay, followed by the Pensacola Expert Panel with Jake. Then get informed and laugh from 11 till 2 with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins, followed by the Guy Benson Show. Your afternoon drive is anchored by Pensacola Right Now with Joe and Austin, followed by Dave Ramsey. It's News Radio Pensacola, heard on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
The Chamber of Commerce had this really interesting presentation by some local economics folks involving the CareerSource Escarosa and the UWF Haas Center. And one of the speakers was a woman named Carolyn Fries, who is the director of workforce development at CareerSource Escarosa. And in the middle of her entire speech, she said a couple of things that I thought were very, very interesting. This was the first one.
When it comes to the people that are applying, it was kind of surprising to me to see that 45% of respondents said that applicants lack desirable characteristics, and we had defined that in the survey as desirable characteristics for a positive work environment, i.e. attendance, dependability, work ethics, and safety. So the very basic things that you would expect workers to have when they first come on outside of technical skills. So those soft skills are really important, and they seem to be lacking in a significant amount of the applicants. In addition, 38% said that they were lacking the basic skills that they needed. 31% said that applicants are lacking interpersonal skills. And then only 17 said resume and interview skills. So we need to invest a lot more time in our young people through our educational system on those soft skills and how to, you know, how to interact, how to work on a team, how to interact, and you know, basically sometimes just show up for work and do your job. It's kind of sad, but you know, it's an issue today, unfortunately.
And that's a lot of business owners in the room kind of saying, yeah, that's the problem is, you know, the job applicants don't have the basic humaning skills to be good employees, let alone whether they can, you know, do the math or have good grammar or perform the calculations or work on the car or lift the weight. You know, it's just the basic soft skills seem to be missing. And that obviously is very concerning. It's also not a particularly, you know, revelatory thing. That's everybody kind of knows this. But it helps to have it said by somebody who's, you know, in a position to really know what's going on in the local economy. And then she said this, and this, of all of the charts and information that she gave, this was the one that caught me the most by surprise.
Another question that we asked was, for the type you have identified as the most difficult to hire, so for the position that's most difficult, what level of skills or credentials are required? And we said, you know, check all that apply for this one. So multiple companies checked more than one, obviously.
Okay, so which level of educational achievement, you know, postgraduate, graduate, you know, high school diploma, GED, you know, BA, apprenticeship, professional certification. If you had to guess, what do you think is the answer? Jake, I'll put you on the spot. If you had to guess, just common sense, what's the hardest for local employers to find? People with advanced degrees, you know, masters and PhDs, people with GEDs, what's the hardest for them to staff their positions? The position that's hardest to fill, what kind of person can't they find?
I would have to say the graduate work, like yeah. Anything past bachelor's.
Yeah, it's the highly skilled labor, right? Mm-hmm. The person who's really, really developed in any field.
Yeah.
I would have thought so, too. The hardest one to find is high school diploma and GED.
I knew you were
going to
say that.
God. Yeah, no, but that's not your fault for that's
well,
the point.
I know.
It's surprising.
I didn't want to believe that.
42, I think, based on the pie chart here, 42% of companies that responded to this said they have trouble finding basic high school graduate level capabilities. Now, the next hardest to staff was somebody with industry recognized certification or technical training, you know, like having gone to like George Stone or something. That's just shy of 34%. Then a bachelor's degree at 26%. And this one add up to 100 because they could answer in multiple categories. Then no skill level at all required. They can't find people at about 16%. And then the other ones are very easy to find comparatively, or those jobs aren't hard to fill, associates, apprenticeship, or graduate professional degree. So in this area, the thing that they can't find is high school graduates and GED holders.
One that came out on top is, you know, again, for the job type you've identified is the most difficult to hire, what level of skills? You know, we had, gosh, what is it, about 42 or 43 who responded, just a high school diploma or a GED. They're having trouble hiring people with that level of education. Second to that was industry-recognized certificate or technical training, followed by bachelor's degree. There were even, let's see, about 17 that said none, no degree at all. And then it goes on into graduate professional degree, associate's degree, and apprenticeship.
So I wanted to ask the follow-up question, which is, okay, why is there a mismatch between supply and demand of high school graduate GED-level educated people? Is it because we just don't make enough of that here? Or is it because we have too many jobs that are low entry access? In other words, we don't have enough, you know, too many of our jobs are not skilled jobs. And so we have too high of a demand for the lowest level of educational achievement. And I asked her the question and she said, well, actually, you know, and it's kind of hard to tell the answer, but she said, actually, the thing that stood out to her, because I talked to her offline, the thing that stood out to her was the very consistent thing that they found across all levels of educational achievement, across all industries, the most common thing that they heard from employers was people just don't want to work. They just don't want to work. Now, that means that they don't want to apply for a job. They don't want to show up for a job interview. If they do manage to land the job, they still don't want to work. That sense of achieve, accomplish, work hard, progress, advance, it's like fine, I got to have a job. I will do the bare minimum to not get fired because I got to get a paycheck. Now, I'm sort of putting my flavor on the words that Carolyn used with me. She didn't say it quite that way, but that was my takeaway from my conversation I had with her, was that the persistent complaint across all industries at all levels of achievement is that the job applicant pool is too small. People don't want to work. And when they do get jobs, they still don't want to work. And look, I will tell you here at News Radio, we have managed, and you might say, well, that's all the young people. It's not all the young people. It's across all ages. It's across the board. And I will tell you, our experience here is, I know people like to rag on the young people. We've had really good experience hiring young people here at News Radio. I'm just telling you, some fantastic people who have come and gone sometimes to go on to, you know, brighter jobs or things that are more in their field. I get that. That's fine. But that's the nature of hiring young people sometimes. But I haven't had that experience, generally speaking. But I talk to enough people to know that that is the experience. Now, I have a theory about some of the why. I'll get to that in just a second. Jake's got traffic on the fives. Jake?
This traffic report, not looking too bad this morning. If you're headed westbound on Fairfield, though, at Hollywood, we do have an accident there that is causing some slowdown. Also, if you're on Barrancas between H and I streets, we have a vehicle crash there that is actually blocking both the east and westbound lanes. Very tied up in that intersection. But of course, you know, being in the block there, there's plenty of ways to get around that. So avoid Barrancas between H and I streets this morning. Otherwise, around town, we're looking pretty good. Looks like Highway 98 through Gulf Breeze and Navarre is flowing smoothly. Highway 29 is clear from the cutoff in Molino through Cantonment. And Chase Street, Gregory Street, Garden Street, Palafox, all checking in clear. If you see anything out there on the roadways and you want to report it to us, you can call or text 437-1620. I'm Jake Walker with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jake. If you're thinking about buying or selling a home, maybe whether you want to acquire another home or pick up a rental of some kind, or just buying for the very first time. Or maybe you're dealing with a difficult circumstance. You know, you've got a marriage that's breaking up, and that's hard to navigate. And plus, maybe you need to sell the house. And how do you get one person to, you know, work on behalf of two people who can't agree about much? Which is why, right? So Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty, they handle all of that stuff. They know all that stuff. In fact, a couple of years ago, somebody came to her and said, hey, we're going through this challenge. Can you help? And she's like, oh, we'll try. But then she realized this takes some extra training and certification. So they went out and got it so they could be able to handle that. You handle estate sales. Not the everyday, ordinary thing, but again, working with perhaps multiple inheritors and trying to figure that out, that's something that they do. So whether you're just buying for the first time or the 10th time, or you have a difficult circumstance to deal with, call Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty, 723-9158. So back to this conversation about difficulties finding the right kinds of people to work in the job field, whatever the field is. I got a bunch of texts in on this. I'll share those with you. 437-1620. One person says, how about just people that can pass a background check? Oh, man, that is, yeah. Okay, yeah. Somebody says, I own a lawn service. I cannot get employees. They want $20 an hour for dummy work, and they don't show up. Somebody else says, as a supervisor, I agree with this lady. It's so hard to find people who want to come to work and come to work on time and do a good job. Most of our applicants feel entitled to a job and a paycheck and to do it to a paycheck without putting forth much effort. And I'll tell you, I also know the opposite of that. I mean, I know people who will work hard, want to work hard, and then don't get compensated for it. I mean, that's true too, okay? But this problem of being able to find good people is, it's persistent. Somebody says, my 18-year-old has applied for over 25 positions over the last 3 months that require only a high school diploma. He has only heard back from one employer. Something doesn't make sense here. You know, I heard that from somebody else too, that they were having trouble just even getting an interview. I don't know why that would be, because all the business owners I know are hiring. Like, all of them are hiring. Not quite as all hiring as they were, say, a year ago post-pandemic, but or during the pandemic, you know, but definitely all hiring. Somebody says, verbal skills and attitude are a problem. Amen. You owe me the entitlement that they're doing me a favor by working for me. I haven't had any consequences or accountability in their lives and can't take constructive criticism, and it's easier to just walk away, especially for older folks, 30s and 40s as well, not just young ones. Somebody else says, a lot of people feel entitled these days. They expect others to provide for them. So I'll tell you, I don't think it's only young people, but I do think it's especially young people. And this is one that just completely stunned me. I was reading in Fortune magazine the other day. Gen Z kind of is willing to treat potential employers like bad dates. How do they treat a bad date? They ghost you. 93% of Gen Zers doing a survey, talked to Global Recruitment Platform, said that they have flaked out on an interview, meaning they had an interview scheduled and they didn't show up. They went to the trouble of getting an interview and then just bailed without saying anything. 93%. 87% managed to get through the interview, get the job, and sign the contract to work and didn't show up for work the first day. The what? Like, what? I mean, that's just unfathomable to me. Now you're breaking your word to people. And it's, okay, Gen Z are the biggest culprits, the article says, but baby boomers, Gen X, and millennials aren't off the hook, and data says that many of them are guilty of occasional ghosting. And then there's the whole, like, quiet quitting where you do the minimum necessary to keep the job and not get fired. I think a lot of this, okay, maybe, came from, you know, COVID screwed everything up for people. But then even in a place like Florida where we stayed open mostly or reopened quickly, I think a lot of people got used to the idea that you can just quit a job and find another job easy, right? That it's super easy to find another job. And they kind of developed the attitude of, well, what are they going to do, fire me? They need workers too bad. And they, that's hard to get out of once you get into it. You know what I mean? It's oddly, I don't know that I would ever fall susceptible to that because I'm kind of a do too much, work too hard kind of person. But I have the weird luxury of being able to work all the way through the pandemic. So, you know, these people who, oh, it was murder to have to stay home all the time. Was it? You know, was it? Okay. You know, cry me a river. Somebody here says, why would I want to have a set work schedule so I can't be off when I want to? I can easily do DoorDash and not get up early and be on a schedule. Oh, yeah. Alternative working situations are convenient, too, and can be profitable.
Not anymore. Yeah. I gotta say, man, from doing Grubhub almost every day, and I used to do DoorDash, there's no money in it anymore. I mean, there's no limit on how many drivers can be on the platform at one time. People go ahead and schedule blocks before you can even get on the app and see what's going on, so they have the priority to orders. You know, during the pandemic, I was making really, really good money delivering every day for, you know, seven, eight hours a day. Now I could be out there 10, 12 hours a day and I'll make $30. It is ridiculous.
Wow.
So that is just, to me, that's just not a viable option anymore.
Which, again, is surprising because then you would think, well, those people would, you know, forsake that to go find jobs, which are apparently available. But, you know. Somebody else texts in 437-1620. The whole thing is over in about 20 or 25 years or less. That's not that pessimistic. Somebody else says, Gen Z is right. It happened to me. Hired a professional job. They moved here from New York, showed up day one, and never again. What? They moved from New York? Okay. Well, you probably paid for moving. The problem with people not hearing back from employers is Indeed or ZipRecruiter. Their algorithms are very difficult to get through. Many potential employees simply get frustrated after a few months and stop applying. If you try and contact many employers directly, they'll simply tell you that we only accept applications through Indeed or ZipRecruiter. Okay, so it's that process is coming as a barrier unintentionally between people and employers. Somebody else says, interview ghosts are much less harmful to a business than quiet quitters who drain resources and company morale on an ongoing basis. Oh, so true. And, you know, it's hard to fire a person who needs to be fired, you know, especially if they're doing just enough to not get fired, right? Somebody says, one day these Grubhub and Uber people will be old, and the same with the job jumpers. What will they use to fund their retirement because they won't be eligible for big Social Security? And last one here, I see it in the majority of my students. They expect to get good grades for not doing any work. To some part, they're right. They've been accustomed to getting moved on to the next level by somebody else's issue. We've failed them by passing them. And when they come across somebody who holds them accountable, they cop attitudes or think that it's unfair. God, the number of texts are coming in. It's amazing. So many people are not tipping when delivering Grubhub or DoorDash anymore, so it's not as good as much money here. And last one, I promise this time. An owner-operator of a business, I have to pay at least $17 an hour just to work the register at a small vape shop to compete with corporations, Publix, banks that pay $18 or more just to start.
Yep.
All of that. 754 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary, and you speak of it often, even though you don't remember half of it. The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money and called the certified public accountants at Banakis & Associates. And she answered the phone. Who's laughing now? The number crunchers at Banakis & Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA.
When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Benakis & Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro advisor, call Benakis & Associates. When you need someone who practices long division for fun, call Benakis & Associates. Now in the historic district on 120 South Alkanes and online at flacpas.com. Benakis & Associates. Leave the numbers to the experts.
Physical activity can make your life better. Spring is a great time to begin reaching your movement goals. The Florida Department of Health in Santa Rosa County is celebrating National Minority Health Month and promoting breastfeeding for all babies by holding the All Moms, All Babies 1 Mile Color Walk or Run on April 13th. This free, family fun event will be held at the Baghdad Mills Site Park beginning at 10 a.m. Call 850-983-5250 to pre-register or for more information, visit health.gov/moveyourway for tips on how to get active.
Advertising, marketing, digital marketing. These are all words you hear a lot about in today's world, but what do they mean? How do you get started? You can start by tuning into the Pensacola Expert Panel this Monday at 10:30 a.m. Join me, Lexi Mendoza, and I'll show you how to navigate the fast-growing landscape of digital advertising this Monday at 10:30 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Serving overseas was just the beginning. We might be home from war, but our mission continues in communities all across the country. It's why we're out there in times of peace and crisis, providing meals to the hungry and supplies to the sick. It's why we're giving strength to those who are too weak and bringing resources to those without them. Service doesn't stop when we're done serving. It's what makes us the VFW. Learn more at vfw.org.
Get news at the top and bottom of every hour with WEAR-TV, our local news team, and Fox News on News Radio Pensacola.
Sometimes you feel like a nut, sometimes you don't.
Should have known better when you came around that you were going to make me cry. It's breaking my heart to watch you run around, because I know that you're living a lie. But that's okay, baby, because in time you will.
I'm not normally a big advocate for Justin Timberlake, but I like this song. I know. And, you know, I had stumbled across this when we were looking up songs for Pi Day, you know, for round circle related songs. And this one came up. I didn't get a chance to play it, but I like that song. That's good. 757 on News Radio 92.3. You okay to continue, Jake? I know you're...
Man, that last story kind of got my blood boiling a little bit.
I know. Mm. I get it. It's... Yep. Sorry, man.
I mean, hey, get up at 3:30 in the morning and drive 45 minutes and,
Cry me a river about how hard your life is, you know?
Exactly, yeah. Although,
do some real work.
Hey, throwing some Burt's chili on the grill sounds like you can make some money there. Dang,
that's
dude.
Right. What's going on with the traffic?
All right, so on Barrancas between H and I streets this morning, we had a really bad vehicle crash earlier blocking both east and the westbound lanes. If you can avoid that little square, please do. Westbound on Fairfield at Hollywood Avenue, we have an accident slowing things down a little bit at there. But otherwise around town, we're looking really good. If you see anything on the roadway slowing you down and you want to report it, you can call or text 437-1620. I'm Jake Walker with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jake. If you've got a plumbing issue of any kind, a leak, a drip, a weird sound in the wall, or a classic example that applies to yours truly, you fixed something by ruining it and you need a plumber to come fix it, what you fixed, that happened to me. And called Barberry, and they came out and took care of it, and I was glad for it because they were good. They knew what they were doing. I had not. Barberry Plumbing, 477-8782, flat rate pricing by the job, not by the time. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our super quick headlines today. What do you have, David?
All right, my 10 seconds this time. The House set to vote on a government spending package today to avoid a partial government shutdown. House Democratic Leader Hakeem Jeffries says he's expecting a majority of Democrats to vote in favor of it. Most Republicans are as well. It's expected to pass before the midnight deadline.
Government shutdown averted, part 38.
You're listening to News Radio 92.3, WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.